praise thee, Lord, for thy great plan, that we thy dwelling place may be.
Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee emphasized the experience of Christ as life and the practical oneness of the believers. He was unbending in his conviction that God's goal is not narrow sectarianism, but the body of Christ. Through his messages in these life studies, he stressed the importance for us to grow in life and to function as Christians so that the body can build itself up. We're happy to bring you recorded portions from his ministry today, along with some of our own thoughts. And we welcome your comments and questions. You can reach us toll-free at 888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Now let's join today's program. In any situation where you have more than one person occupying the same space, conflicts and differences are bound to occur, regardless of how compatible these people might think they are. Just check with any married couple. Well, these conflicts are not only disruptive to a peaceful marriage life, they're also devastating within the body of Christ, which Paul calls the new man in Colossians and Ephesians. So what does the Bible offer as a solution to the conflicts that occur in our daily life and our church life? Well, we'll see on today's Life Study of the Bible. And along with us today, we have Francis Ball. Francis, nice to have you back.
Thank you. Very good to be back, especially in this marvelous, lofty book called Colossians.
It's an interesting book because it is lofty. At the same time, it's immensely practical. I think like the word today is a practical word that applies some of the lofty things that Paul has presented. It's kind of unique that way, isn't it?
That's the marvelous thing about it. Even though it's so lofty and such high terms, yet he makes it very, very practical.
He revealed the new man, the Apostle Paul did, Francis, in verses 10 and 11 of chapter 3. The new man, in a loose way, we could just as review, describe as a way of describing an aspect of the body of Christ that's quite marvelous that he really developed in Colossians and also Ephesians. Now, in the verses that follow, there's a marvelous description of the living within the new man. Let me read some of these verses in chapter 3. Verse 12 says, "Put on, therefore, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, inward parts of compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering, bearing one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone should have a complaint against anyone, even as the Lord forgave you, so also should you forgive. And over all these things put on love, which is the uniting bond of perfectness. And let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That's a tremendous passage, isn't it?
Just marvelous, and so practical, and yet seemingly unreachable.
But seemingly is the key word there. I think we're going to see there is a way to reach what Paul is describing in this portion.
That's right.
Let's join Witness Lee.
After the introductory word, this book begins to unveil to us who is Christ and what is Christ. He is the all-inclusive one. He is the preeminent one. He is the central one, and he is the universal one. So in this section, 1:9 through 3:11, Christ is revealed to the uttermost. Here, it doesn't say that Christ, the Lamb of God. Here, it doesn't say that Christ, the man. Here, it doesn't say that Christ flows the living water, and so forth. Here, in this section, it tells us that Christ is the portion of the saint, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, and the firstborn from among the dead, and the mystery of God's economy, even the mystery of God himself, and so forth, and so forth. All these items are too profound. This is absolutely different from the revelation concerning Christ in other books. So we must see something quite extraordinary. After seeing this, after Paul showing this to us, he gives us a word concerning our living, concerning the living of the saints. We use this phrase in union with Christ. It is not kind of a living apart from Christ. John 15 says, abide in the Lord. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. Even we can do something if it is apart from the Lord, it doesn't count in the eyes of God. In the eyes of God, only Christ counts. Whatever is apart from Him doesn't count. So, we can do nothing in the eyes of God if we are apart from this all-inclusive Christ. So, the living of the saints, our living, must be what? Must be in union with Christ. Must be that we are one with Christ. Our living, as the living of the saints, must be what? Must be in union with Christ. Must be in a kind of identification with Christ. This means that Christ is we and we are Christ. We live, He lives. He lives, we live. He even lives in our living.
Francis, what about some of these unique phrases that the Apostle Paul uses and how we need to be affected by what they reveal of Him in our living?
Isn't this marvelous, Chris? Such a high presentation of Christ in so many aspects that even Paul himself uses terms in this epistle that he doesn't use in other epistles that make us see how all-inclusive Christ is and that He is our life, that we could live the life of Christ. And he even points out that His living in our living, just like He and the Father are one, so we can live the life of Christ. He wants to live His life through us, and we become one with Him to such an extent that our living will be His expression. This is just too marvelous to me, and how it can be applied here. It takes some time with the Lord to really see what's involved. So we learn to live, not only trying to be like Christ, but we need to learn to live Christ Himself as the one who now lives in us and is one with us. He's our portion. He's everything to us. He's the all-inclusive one, so there's no area where He doesn't apply.
Francis, you used the word that we could express Him. This is a thought that I think probably does not often occur to many Christians, that part of the Christian life and even a central part of a Christian life is that we, as His members of His body on earth, are those that should be and can be expressing Him. We don't think that our responsibility includes expressing Christ too much, do we?
No, that's not the common way of looking at it. We try to imitate Him, but to express Him means that we realize He is our life, He's our portion, He is the resurrection, He is everything to us. He's our humility, He's our lowliness. Everything that He is wants to be lived out through us.
Well, we opened the program today talking about all the conflicts that occur in everyday, ordinary human life and in our typical experience of the church life. And let me remind our listeners of a verse we read, a short one. This is our topic in this coming portion. And it says, "And let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful." The peace of God arbitrating in our hearts. That's what we want to look at.
After this, He charged them to do one thing, that is to take care of the peace of Christ. There's something that is called the peace of Christ. We all have to realize we do have this something within us. We do have this peace of Christ. If you are going to understand the peace here, you have to go to Ephesians 2:15. Christ in Himself created of the two peoples one new man, so making peace. And this is peace. Peace that we all the different peoples Greek, Jews, barbarians, Scythians, circumcision, uncircumcision, slaves, freemen, different ranks, different races, different nationalities, all different peoples, yet we all have been created into one new man. Amen. And this is peace. The peace here means the real peaceful situation of the oneness. In the new man, no Greek, no Jew. In the new man, no slave, no free man. You see, in the new man, no what? Uncircumcision. No circumcision. No this, no that. In the new man, no different ranks, no different races, no different peoples, no different nationalities, but Christ. Amen. And this is the oneness. And this is the peace. When this oneness is being practiced, the peace mentioned here is the peace of Christ, which is what? Which is just the peaceful oneness in the new man. Let the peace of Christ be your arbitrate, to arbitrate in your heart. We all know, say, here's a game. Two parties playing the game. At certain point, party A says, we are right. And party B says, we are right. And who is right? Not up to party A's word, neither up to party B's word, up to what? Up to the arbitrate or arbitrator. He says this, everybody has to listen. Forget about your yes, forget about your no. Listen to the arbitrator's word. Have you ever realized that within you there is kind of arbitrator? We never read this way. But actually, an arbitrator was there all the time. We do have something. We do have something.
Francis, if you look at the situation in the church in Colossae, it's very interesting. There's no sign of open outward division, such as the problem in Corinth. Yet what you have is a situation where there were a lot of competing philosophies and approaches to life that were sort of under the surface, undercurrents running here. And each person or each group had their favorites. Some preferred the Egyptian way and some preferred the Greek way, the Greek philosophy, and some preferred this practice of asceticism. So there were all these cultural issues that were nagging problems in the church there. But in such a situation, there's really a need of an arbitrator if there is going to be peace. Let's talk about just who this arbitrator is in this case.
Boy, isn't that a marvelous title? Peace of Christ.
Yeah.
Let the peace of Christ arbitrate, or be the referee, or be the decider in all the things. I think if we realize, Chris, that we are one new man, we would have some basis for letting this peace of Christ rule or arbitrate in us. The peace is there. The peace of Christ is here.
Right.
It's whether you let the peace of Christ do this, that is, whether you let it function or not, is up to you. So we're in this body, which is the new man, which is Christ in the believers. So we have the peace of Christ. We even also have the word of Christ, as we'll see. But whether or not we let the peace of Christ and the word of Christ do its job, do its work in us, is really up to us. So this necessitates our realization that we are one body.
Right.
We're not different cultures. We're not this. We're not that, as he pointed out. But we are the body of Christ. We are part of the new man. Christ is the head, and we are the body. So the only way to have peace is not by arguing about our philosophies or our views, but by letting the peace of Christ, that is the oneness that we have in Christ, let that arbitrate, let that be the deciding factor.
Francis, that he almost personifies this peace of Christ, doesn't he, as if it were, you use the term referee, which is one of the derivatives of this word from the Greek language. The arbitrator becomes kind of a personal arbitrator in there. We need to follow him in such a personal way, don't we?
That's right. He's personified the term, the peace of Christ.
It's a marvelous solution to the problems that crop up if we would just listen and live by that arbitrating peace within. How many problems would be avoided?
Oh, my. This would be heavenly living on earth.
Francis, the next verse in this sequence that we read is closely related to this matter of the peace arbitrating. Verse 16 goes on and says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." And that's our final topic today. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
Let the word dwell in you. The word of Christ includes the word spoken by Christ in all the four Gospels, and also the word in the Acts, in the epistles, spoken by the Lord through his body, the apostles and the prophets and so forth. In other words, the whole New Testament, at least, is the word of Christ. We must be filled with the word of Christ. We must let the word of Christ inhabit. And this word means what? To make a home. It is not just to dwell in you, but to have a home in you. And the space is rather quite spacious. The word must have spacious ground within your being, that the word can have a free course to see something, to reveal something, to indicate something, to tell you something. I tell you, this is the way that we have to take the word into us. Not just to take the word into us and put the word into a small corner. No, but let the word dwell. Let the word inhabit in you. I admire Paul the writer. He stresses the peace of Christ. He stresses the word of Christ. You just think a little bit over how much we need the peace of Christ to arbitrate within us many, many times. And even the more, we need to realize how much we need the word of Christ to make its home in our heart. Let the peace of Christ work in you, and let the word of Christ dwell in you. I tell you, you'll be a wonderful person. You never say no. You never say yes. You let the arbitrator say yes or no. What a wonderful person then. And you don't have your opinion, and you don't have your philosophical thought, and you don't have your estimate, you don't have your figuration, but you have the word of Christ. Amen. In other words, what will be prevailing in me is not my concept, but the word of Christ. And you cannot separate the word from the Lord's arbitration. The arbitrator always says a word. Bring your case to the arbitration and listen to the arbitrator's word. And this word, no doubt, is the word of Christ. So let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your heart, and let the word of Christ dwell in you. Then I tell you, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. You'll be full of thanks. You'll be full of singing. You will be full of what? Praising and so forth. I like to impress you that we all have to learn one thing. As we realize that we are the new man, so we are one with Christ. As we are one with Christ, we must have a kind of living that is in union with Christ. First of all, I tell you, the most prevailing one within us must not be our yes or no, but must be his arbitration. Let the peace of Christ arbitrate in you to make a final decision, to say the final yes or final no. Don't listen to any party. Then, at the same time, let the word of Christ get into you and dwell in you and have its free course to work out something, to be so prevailing within you. Then you are all okay. This is why after verse 17 of this chapter, from verse 18 through the first verse of chapter 4, you have the section of the lives between the wives and husbands, the children and parents, slaves and masters. As long as you have the peace of Christ operating in your heart and you have the word of Christ dwell in you, you'll be okay. You could be the proper wife, and you could be the proper husband, you could be the proper children and the proper parents and the proper slave, proper master. Everyone will be proper. This is all what we need.
Francis, this was a wonderful and very practical connection between the word that indwells us or can indwell us and the peace of Christ as the arbitrator. I was impressed by his point that we can love the Bible, we can read the Bible, we can even study the Bible, but we may not allow the word to inhabit us. That was really something. Let's talk about how the inner arbitrator utilizes this indwelling word in our hearts.
Of course, the inner arbitrator is the peace of Christ and the word of Christ, and they're both Christ.
Right.
They're in full agreement, so there's no argument here. But when we've got certain concepts, even reading the Bible, as he pointed out, reading the Bible, we can get so occupied with our concept of what it's saying that we miss what it says. Brother Lee's often reminded us how we need to touch the Lord. We need to contact the Lord. We need to use our spirit in reading the Bible.
Right.
Then it becomes life to us, and it becomes real to us. And that reality that we experience, that's the peace. And if we paid attention to that, all the characteristics and all the virtues that we like to express could be worked into us and actually be put on us. He talks a lot in this whole chapter, Paul does,
right,
about putting on, putting off, putting on. Well, what we put on are things like kindness, lowliness, and humility, and things like this. But the concept is, just like with humility, you think you can be humble. You can be humble and be proud of it. I remember a preacher once said, humility's a funny thing. The minute you think you got any, it's all gone. So we have to be aware that these are really spiritual
right
attributes worked into our human virtues. This is God as Christ, as the Spirit worked into our being so that we express Him in His attributes by our human virtues. This is really marvelous, and this is so practical for us to let the peace of Christ arbitrate, let the Word of Christ dwell in you. These two are actually in full cooperation. When we let the Word of Christ dwell in us, then the peace is there.
I thought there was a real a window in this portion that we just heard that you touched on as well about the kind of word that indwells and moves and operates in us as opposed to the word that even we may study in an external way, in an objective way, but it never really enters us. We might know about it, but there's no living component of it that is really at work in our being, correcting, adjusting, and working in harmony with this arbitrating peace in us. That is the crucial need, it seems to me, of all of the members in the body of Christ today.
That's right. We really need this kind of inward working of the Word of God with the peace of Christ arbitrating.
So we do need to constantly remember the exhortation you repeated today. Anytime we come to the Word, we have to be coming to the living person of Christ in the Word.
Amen.
Thank you, Francis. Always an enjoyment and a big help to me to have you a part of our program.
I enjoy it, and thank you very much for inviting me.
And you're invited back again. Well, we're out of time. We'll leave you with our toll-free number and invite you to contact us. You can find out about the printed material that accompanies these life study programs that you hear on the radio. These printed messages are tremendous resources. They go into great detail and depth, but yet it's presented in a way that you can really get a hold of. And we would recommend them very highly to you. Our toll-free number is 1-888-LIFE-STUDY. That's 888-543-3788. Our mailing address is Living Stream Ministry, Post Office Box 2121, Anaheim, California, 92814. Or you can send email to us, radio@lsm.org. For Francis Ball today, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.
Dear Lord, we give our
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee spent 7 decades in the 20th century speaking Christ, first in Asia, and then North America, eventually all over the world. The culmination of those 70 years of ministry was his Life Study of the Bible, an exhaustive exposition of the entire Scriptures. This unique commentary focuses on how Christ can be life to man in an experiential and practical way. These programs encapsulate Witness Lee's speaking in just 26 minutes. But to get the complete riches, visit lifestudy.com. From there, you can read all of the Life Study messages in their entirety or download any of our more than 1,700 audio programs at no cost. Again, that website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.